We're about a month out from one of my favorite days of the year here in Darlington, the 4th of July. And at the Odell House, here's how the 4th of July usually runs. We get up in the morning and we set Pandora to play as much John Philip Sousa marching music as we can handle. You know, we spend a little time giving a bit of a history lesson to our children to remember what it is that we're celebrating on the 4th of July. We take some time to give thanks to God for the gift of this wonderful nation and for all those who have given their lives as a sacrifice for the gift of our freedom. And of course, at the end of the day, there is the grand finale, the fireworks display at the Darlington Country Club. And I tell you, I would put up our fireworks display up against any other fireworks display here in South Carolina. We do the 4th of July right here in Darlington. And it's with no small amount of pride that I tell people as we're there on the Darlington Country Club looking down at the bottom of the hill where they're setting up the fireworks display, I tell people, the guy down there who's setting up the display, that's one of my guys, that's Jay Irvin. He's in charge down there and he knows what he's doing. But in addition to all of that, you know, the 4th of July is the one day of the year that the Darlington Country Club behaves more like a church than it does a club. If you think about it, any other day of the year, the purpose of the country club, of course, is to serve its members. The swimming pool is for the members. The club puts on events for the members. That's what makes it a club. But on the 4th of July, it's different. On the 4th of July, the Darlington Country Club puts on a display, not just for the members, but really for the whole town. And this gives us a picture of the mission of the church. William Temple, who was Archbishop of Canterbury from 1942 to 1944, had this famous quote. I've quoted him before, and it's appropriate to quote him again. He said, "The church is the one society that exists for the benefit of those who are not its members." Think about that for a second. The church is the one society that exists for the benefit of those who are not its members. The 4th of July, members on the 4th of July, members of the Darlington Country Club put on a show that is enjoyed by as many, if not more, non-members than members. People from all over the county descend onto the golf course to take in the event. And many of the guests, again, non-members, truth be told, aren't acquainted with the finer points of golf course etiquette. There are children playing in the sand traps. There are adults spilling cold beers right there on the putting green. I'm sure it has to be incredibly irksome for whomever's in charge of taking care of the golf course the next day, having to clean up from the event. But in the same way, if the church is doing her job, there will be persons coming in who don't know the finer points of worship etiquette. They're going to be people who don't know, for example, that you know that we don't talk during the communion prayer. People don't know any better. And they'll have to be taught what it is that we do and why it is that we're doing it. And they'll have to be taught in a way with love and charity that invites them to come closer into the community. So if the church is doing her job, they're going to be people who are playing in the sand traps and spilling their cold beer on the putting green. People coming in who don't know all the rules of the road. And so one of the challenges of the church's mission is figuring out how to incorporate these newcomers into the body, and it's not always easy. So, on the 4th of July, the Darlington Country Club gives us a picture of the church's mission. The church is the only society that exists for the benefit of those who are not its members. But the fireworks display also on the 4th of July, gives us an image of this particular season here in the life of the church. Here today, we are in the middle of the great 50 days of Easter. In our church, Easter is not just a day, it's a season. It's a 50-day-long season. Now, of course, we had the 40 days of Lent that led into Easter, and now we are in the 50 days, the great 50 days of Easter. In fact, today is the 43rd day in the great 50 days of Easter. So if you count back 3 days back to Thursday, Thursday was the 40th day in the great 50 days of Easter. Now, why does that matter? It matters because, as we learn here this morning in the book of Acts, that after Jesus was raised from the dead, he spent some time with his followers. He taught them, he cared for them, and And he spent a total of 40 days with them. And then what happened after the end of the 40 days? What happened to Jesus? Yes, he ascended up to the Father. So he died on the cross. On the third day, he was raised up. He spent 40 days with his followers, and then he ascended into heaven. Now, why on earth would our Lord's departure from this planet, why would that be a cause for celebration? You would think that Jesus' followers wouldn't be too excited about him leaving earth. They'd want him to stay around, not ascend up into heaven. But the fireworks display on the 4th of July, it gives us a picture of why the ascension was not only necessary, but a cause for celebration. Let me explain it this way. Most of you, I assume, have not been shopping for fireworks anytime recently. Maybe you have been, but I know for me, I rely on the Darlington Country Club for my fireworks display, so I don't spend a whole lot of time shopping for fireworks. But if you are shopping for fireworks, or if you happen to be around some fireworks that have not yet been set off, take some time to read the labels. Because the labels on those fireworks oftentimes are pretty funny. And the reason they're funny is because the fireworks are made in China, and I think the persons who make the fireworks are spending more money on gunpowder than they are on translators. And so the titles on the fireworks display are humorous. I think some of them are translations of Chinese idioms that don't make any sense in English. Let me give you just a couple of quick examples. This is a website that I read of a fellow who's a computer programmer, but every year he takes pictures of fireworks labels and displays them on his website. Okay, so here we go. Names of fireworks you can buy. Psycho ex-girlfriend. Haunted fish. Poopy puppy. Blonde joke. Baby boomers. Hostile takeover. Grand latte. Chicken on a chain. There was a picture of the chicken's leg in a chain. Who knows? And then finally, there's one in the shape of a boat entitled The Ark. And this is what this computer programmer put as the caption. He said, Noah's Ark. Who can forget the classic biblical passage where all God's creatures die in a fire? Yeah, it's like, why is that? I mean, it doesn't make any sense. Now, as entertaining as those labels are, and they are that, most of us never see the labels. For every one person who reads the labels, hundreds more will see the fireworks that come out of the cannon. Most of those who were alive when Jesus walked this earth did not get to meet him. It was only after he ascended to the Father and then sent the promised gift of the Holy Spirit to empower his followers to witness in the world. It was only then that hundreds of thousands of persons got to experience firsthand the risen Christ through the witness of his followers and through the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus ascended into heaven so that his light might be viewable throughout the whole world. He ascended to the Father so that he wouldn't be at one place at one time, but could be every place all the time. And before he ascended, he gave his followers some instructions. He gave us an assignment. Bill just read this assignment for us in the book of Acts. Let me reread it. He said, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You shall be my witnesses." You see, there are people who move into Darlington from all parts of the country. We have some neighbors who moved here from Connecticut. People who move in, they don't know anything about the 4th of July fireworks display at the Darlington Country Club. Even if they happen to look out their window on the eve of the 4th of July and see the distant glow of the light, and maybe hear the distant booming echo from the fireworks, unless someone tells them where the show is, unless someone witnesses to them, unless someone is caring enough to say, "Hey, look, 4th of July is coming down the pike. You need to go to the Darlington Country Club to watch the fireworks display." Unless someone tells them, they don't know where the display is. In the same way, there are people here in Darlington, here today, who have seen the light of Christ off in the distance, but they don't recognize it for what it is. And Jesus placed us, his followers, here in the world to direct others to the source of the light. To say to them, hey, you know that glow that you've seen? You know that boom that you hear off in the distance? Well, if you'll just follow me, I'll show you where the real lights are. That's the mission that Jesus gave to his followers before he ascended into heaven. That's the mission he's given you. Now, it can be so easy to get wrapped up in the busyness of the church that we can forget the business of the church. Just take, for example, this building that we're renovating, the Purple Fish Coffee Company. The point of renovating the building is not to renovate the building. That's not the point. We are renovating the building so that we can bring people into that building to point them to the light, to point them to Christ. Beloved, God has placed you where you are. He has given you the relationships that he has given you. He's given you certain gifts that are unique to you so that you might serve as his witness, so that you might direct people toward his light. When people look at you, are they directed back to Christ? Think about the week that is ahead of you. Think about the relationships you have. Think about the opportunities you have. How might you offer these things, your relationships, your gifts, the time God has given you in the week to come, to point people back to Christ, to serve as his witness? Beloved, the world is full of people who can see the light and hear the boom off in the distance, but who have not yet seen the fireworks in their full glory. Jesus ascended into heaven because he does not belong in this world, and neither do you. You've been put here for a season, and you have been put here for a particular reason. Your commission is this: you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth, yes, and even to Darlington. You shall be my witnesses. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we hear once again this morning your commission to us to witness. And we hear as well your promised gift of the Holy Spirit. So I ask once again, Lord Christ, that you would fill us anew with that Spirit, so that as we walk into the week that's ahead of us, we might walk into that week ready to witness to you, ready to direct people to you, ready to point people to the light, so that all those around us might come to know you as the source of that light. For we ask these things in your precious and powerful name.